From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Frain Olson will join us from North Dakota State University Extension to discuss last week's WASD and crop production reports and remind us about the size of this year's crop and how big it really is and what that means, especially in the western part of the United States, and how that folds back into the eastern Corn Belt as well. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today at $5.13 and a quarter, finished 4 and a quarter cents lower. The March contract down 4 and a half. It settled at 5.22 in the May at 5.27 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter cents. November soybeans down a penny and 3 quarters, $12.84 and 3 quarters the settlement price. January at 12.93 and a half, down 1 and a quarter in the March. $12.98, down a penny and a quarter. The bean meal futures up $2 at $3.41.50, and the bean oil at $55.80. That was 2 cents higher for the day. Wheat futures soft red contract at $6.87, down a penny and a half in the December, and the hard red at $6.86 and a quarter, up 3 3/4 of a cent for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $127.15, $1.07 and a half cents lower. Feeders at $155.45, down $2.27 and a half. And lean hogs at $80.77 and a half, $1.67 and a half lower on the day. Crude oil at $70.40, 68 cents a barrel higher. The diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.15 and 6 tenths of a cent per gallon. That's up a penny, and the wholesale price of gasoline is about 4 tenths of a cent higher, $2.15 and 9 tenths of a cent for the day. The S&P 500 at 4,449.5, that's down 0.875, and the Dow at 35,720 is about 113 points higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago for this Monday. Thank you, Kurt, for taking the time with us today.
Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you much.
Well, it looked like it was pretty quiet trade, but can you tell me about the overnight and the day trade?
Yeah, we started out kind of firm in the evening trade. Early morning hours, we were near the lows there. No big sales for the most part, and harvest activity picking up. But as the funds kind of sold the marketplace, we found some buyers underneath. And in fact, beans came back and traded higher there for a while, corn almost higher. So kind of a stable kind of a relief in through here. We were able to hold the gains from Friday there. Big outside up days there on Friday, technically, and being able to hold the gains for the most part, kind of technically encouraging. So if we can kind of draw the line here at the $5 level on the corn and this $12.60 level on the November beans, that's kind of a positive stance in through here. As you know, we did have the supply-demand report there. It was well-chewed, but one thing to keep in mind, one analyst pointed out today that a year ago, the September report showed corn yield 178.5, but the final yield was 172. It dropped about 6.5 bushels per acre. And same thing on the bean. The bean yield, final yield dropped about 1.7. So, you know, the jury's still out on the yield. Most of the analysts feel that the yield's kind of rich right now, and we'll see how that unfolds as time goes on. So we got a lot of moving parts, a lot of market in front of us. Probably up front and center here's harvest activity. We're going to switch gears from good to excellent to harvest. This afternoon's harvest progress for corn is expected to be 5% complete as a nation. Now, a lot of that counts to the deep south where they've been going for a while. Here in the upper Midwest, we're starting to hear more and more reports and a lot of variability. We've heard corn moisture as low as 13.3% and, of course, on higher from there. Yields, most of them 200-plus for the most part. I mean, there's some below that. But the early stuff, good black ground, a little disappointment. Some areas coming in 220. They were looking for 240. But, we still have some time to go. General observation, tar spots showing up in some areas there. Army ants in some areas. So there's some situations out there where the fungicide or the insecticide needed to kick in there. As far as wind, there's a lot of wind damage for the most part. Guys are a little, you know, concerned about that, having to find some rills or pick some grain up off the ground here this fall. So that's going to be a challenge here as we move forward. But maybe more news here as we move through the week here, because the forecast is warm and dry here for a while. So this activity is going to run full blast here real short.
So you mentioned that most were thinking that we still may have some supply issues, that things might continue to drop down, at least in comparison to where yield is at this point. How did the trade take the demand side of that WASDE figure?
Well, there's still, you know, ideas that, you know, China's made a commitment here. They're going to be buying ag products. They need to kick in high gear, so the exports, you know, might be a little skinny here, but the trade needs confirmation they're going to follow through on that. So we did see 132,000-ton beans sell to unknown destination. We need to see those sales pick up, you know, much more aggressive than that. The weekly shipments were on the low side. Of course, the Gulf was, you know, for the most part closed. Quite a bit of talk here. These commercial guys are going to get back online and through here and actually see, you know, this normalcy resume here fairly quickly here. Got a big crop. There is big world demand out there and a big livestock base here. So, you know, we'll ride around in through here traditionally. Guys like to maybe see the market really get going here once we get past Columbus Day. That's been a benchmark here in the past. But one thing you got to remember, and I'll give you an inside hint here, the grain bins are empty, not only on the farm and at the elevator too. And I have a feeling here, as we move along and through here, you're going to see this market go flatline, which means there might not be a whole lot of carry as there'd be some urgency to gather some inventory.
So the idea meaning that there could be some opportunity for producers to price grain across the scale, whether that's bean or corn?
If you can catch some early pop-up bids, that's the most attractive. Now, if you're in an area where the basis is fairly wide, I think it'll pay for storage, to put it, commercial storage, in fact, where you could probably at least break even by storing it by year-end and through here. But no, if you can get an attractive bid in here and avoid the commercial storage, by all means, option volatility has come down dramatically in through here, so you can do some cash replacement strategies, save your storage and your shrink, and use that for a little bit of re-ownership in here and see what this winter brings. And it could get exciting as we move into winter tide because that Brazilian forecast is dry.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, because I'm wondering, are they expected to plant more acres as well of soybean, that is?
At this price, you're going to bring out acres out of the woodwork from everywhere at this point in time. And some of these estimates are for, you know, 2-3% increase. We'll see how the weather unfolds. I did say dry, but this is their dry period. So if these rains don't start picking up here normally as we move into mid-late fall, there could be a little bit more urgency on that. But at these price levels, I think very few acres are going to be laid aside, as long as they get the inputs and these inputs don't go outside. The inputs is a whole different story here, even here in the upper Midwest.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Oh, just fears we're going to see some larger numbers. Price-wise, a little cheaper grain here is giving a little bit of relief. The thing is, we did see some larger pork sales last week to China, and that was kind of a shot in the arm for about 10 seconds, and the market kind of discounted that, believing that might not hold up in through here. But for the most part, we've got the livestock market in a downward momentum in here. October's pork month, so hopefully we'll see some positive news here as we move forward.
Hey, thank you.
Very good.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joined us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find and listen to it whenever you'd like to on demand at WILLAG.org or look us up in your favorite podcast application, places like Stitcher or SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too. You can even ask Google if you'd like, Alexa, I suppose, to play the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frayne Olson, agricultural economist with North Dakota State University Extension. Thank you, Frayne, for being with us. I know you were looking closely at last week's USDA crop production and WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Is there a tale to tell out of that that you think is unique?
Well, yes. And of course, we're in the area where we've been having very, very dry conditions, North Dakota, South Dakota, into Minnesota, even parts of Nebraska. Obviously, parts of Iowa have had some yield issues. And we've been really focusing for both corn and beans on those yield numbers, you know, and what's that yield number going to look like? What's the rainfall? You know, that's been the primary focus for a long time. And I wanted to take a little bit of a step back and say, well, wait a minute. Let's also look at is two questions. Is the Eastern Corn Belt going to have enough yield increase to compensate for the poor yields we're going to see in the Western Corn Belt because of the drought? And I started looking at the numbers, and what we really need to focus on, in my opinion, is not only about the yield, but how many total bushels are available. And one of the things we're seeing in the Western Corn Belt, in particular in my state in North Dakota, we had an increase in planted acreage for both corn and soybeans because we had a big prevent plant year last year. And so I know this seems counterintuitive, but in North Dakota, we're actually going to produce more corn bushels of corn and more bushels of soybeans this year in a drought than we did last year because we increased our planted acreage. And some of that can be said not only for North Dakota, but also for this Western growing region. We had an increase in total planted acreage. So we go through the math on, well, what's the average yield going to be and how many acres we can harvest. But the reason we do that is so that we can get to the bottom line number of, well, how many bushels do we have available? And if you look at the bottom line, if you go state by state, but also drop to the bottom line, we're going to have the second largest corn production year in history. Only 2016-17 had more bushels produced. In the same breath, we also have the most second largest consumption of corn in history, with last year's corn consumption being the largest. So in my opinion, yes, we need to worry about yields. We need to worry about harvested acreage. But it's now to the crop development stage where I don't know that we're going to either gain or lose a lot of bushels from this point forward. And so in my opinion, I think the markets are going to start to shift to this demand base and focus on, well, how quickly we're going to use up both corn and beans. I think that mental shift is going to happen a little bit earlier than we've seen in the past.
Well, I have a follow-up question on the demand, because we know the PNW ships soybeans to China. Are you shipping corn out of North Dakota to China as well?
We have been, yes. And most of that, of course, is because of the sudden surge in Chinese corn business. The majority of that corn has been coming out of the Gulf, but we have been shipping more than expected corn through the PNW as well. And again, it's not just drawing from North Dakota, but also parts of Minnesota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. So there's kind of a funnel that goes into that PNW market. But yeah, there has been quite a bit of corn moving through the PNW, which is, you know, for us a very good thing. It's certainly helped out at our basis levels. And I do think because of some of the storm damage, the Hurricane Ida storm damage down in the Gulf, and there's been some backlog now in some of those shipping, We are seeing a little bit more activity out of the PNW as a method to try and come up with an alternative way to get some of those bushels into the Asian markets, in particular China.
Well, because you have so many more bushels available, or that will be available very soon in the Western Corn Belt, in the Dakotas, I suppose, part of Minnesota, is basis weakened or is it strong?
Actually, our basis locally here in at least in eastern North Dakota is exceptionally strong for this time of year. Again, we have a very strong seasonal basis pattern in this area. Much stronger pattern. The highs and lows are much more amplified than what you'd see in your area in Illinois. But typically at this time of year, if we had a normal crop, we'd be seeing minus 60, minus 70 basis for those kind of core corny areas of the state. And right now today, we're a minus 25 all the way into February. So we're seeing some very, very strong basis levels. Obviously, some of that is because we do have lower yields. But again, I want to come back. We have an increase in acres. And so our total bushels available in the state is actually up from last year. And to me, that's signaling there is still this strong demand base. We've kind of cleaned out the bins. We don't have a lot of corn and beans left from last year to worry about. And now all of a sudden this surge in demand that we're seeing out of the West Coast, combined with some local use in the form of ethanol plants, it's really causing some very strong basis levels locally.
Our bias from the perspective of the Eastern Corn Belt is that those in the Western Corn Belt, especially the Northwest, where things are a bit drier year-round and storage is more easily done, I believe, is that farmers there tend to store for much longer periods of time. Will they do that with the corn crop?
You know, that's a great question. I don't have a really solid answer for that yet. I do know that there were some farmers that pre-sold, not only, you know, earlier this season before we put seed in the ground in that March, April time period. There have been some additional sales as we saw the rallies this summer, but I know farmers were very cautious in trying to not to oversell what their expected production is. So I do think some of that will wait. The farmers will wait to see until they know how many bushels specifically they're dealing with on their farms before they make too much more marketing decisions. But you're absolutely right. In this region, most farmers have enough storage capacity for at least one year of production. Because it is relatively dry, low humidity, we've got a built-in deep freeze for about 6 months out of the year. Insect problems aren't as big a deal in the winter. We tend to store grain up here for much longer than you do in the central or southern parts of the U.S. Will they store it? I think it'll be difficult once it goes into the bin to get those bushels back out again. So I think the local cash market's going to have to work pretty hard.
Do you think they should store it given the basis?
that's a tough question because, you know, our basis levels, you know, at minus 25 right now are very, very strong. Again, this is unusual territory for us. Could they get higher? Yeah, it depends upon what goes on in the futures market. I mean, we're seeing kind of a drift lower as we get into harvest now, which is seasonally very common in the futures market for both corn and beans. The tendency for farmers up here is to, you know, if you have storage space, to bin it during harvest and wait for that basis improvement, but we don't see that. I mean, we've got exceptionally strong basis levels right now. So I think it'll all depend upon farmers' viewpoint of what they think will happen in the futures market as we move post-harvest. Will we continue to have this slow downward glide into, short crops have long tails kind of idea? Or will we start to see some of that lower prices influencing demand and we'll see some export, you know, business pickup, where we start to see some later improvement. And that right now, that's a really, really tough call.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, always a pleasure to visit.
It is indeed. That's Fran Olson. He is with North Dakota State University Extension and serves as an agricultural economist. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up Thursday morning at 11 a.m., join me for the next Farm Doc Team webinar. This time around, Joe Jansen and Scott Irwin will take up the grain markets and what their expectations are as it relates to price over the coming months. You can sign up for that now if you'd like on the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for the Farm Doc Daily webinars and the update for this fall. There are a series of them, and once you've signed up for one, you're signed up for all of them. There are a few left, and it's all free. You can do that on the Farm Doc Daily website or scroll down the page at willag.org. Look in the calendar for the red lines on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock, and you'll find a link inside those as well if you click on them to get yourself signed up for the Farm Doc Daily updates. This Thursday, we'll take up a grain outlook with Joe Jansen and Scott Irwin. On this Monday, we'll check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Thanks, Mark, for being with us here in the Midwest. It looks like we're going to have really beautiful weather for a bit, and that'll be nice for harvest, I think. But can you tell me a little bit more about the next couple of weeks or so?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me. Looking ahead here over the next couple of weeks in the Corn Belt, certainly a continuation of summer, meaning a bias of warmer than normal temperatures. And along with that will be actually a generally drier bias across much of the Midwest as well. Really the only kind of active zone, albeit just to a lesser degree and nothing to get overly concerned about in terms of harvest progress, that would be up across areas of like Minnesota and some adjacent areas of the Dakotas and Wisconsin, where there's a bit more frequent activity there. But outside of that, it's a drier pattern and favorable here for harvest progress.
How about winter wheat planting in the western part of the United States?
Yeah, this drier and warmer than normal pattern in the central U.S. is also impacting the central and southern plains and the hard red winter wheat acreage there. So with planting commencing as we go through the next few weeks with this warmer and drier bias pattern, it's certainly an area to keep an eye on here. And they did have some rains back over a week ago to help boost soil moisture, some of the remnants of former Hurricane Nora out in the eastern Pacific. But since then, they've turned drier and hotter and look to stay that way going forward. So more rain is going to be needed as more of the crop is planted as we go through these next few weeks.
Speaking of more rain being needed, have the regularly scheduled monsoonal rains in Brazil begun so that they can think about the beginning of their planting season for soybeans?
Well, Todd, in Brazil, those rains have not yet started. And looking ahead, we do anticipate them to start by the end of the month and into the early portion of October. In fact, toward the end of next week and into the following week, there are indications in computer model guidance of rain activity beginning to increase across center west Brazil. Got to see how that rolls forward here. But until then, areas are going to be hotter and drier than normal there, which is at least going to limit some of the early planting that can take place here during the middle portion of September.
Well, thanks for keeping track of it all for us.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics in Chicago and joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon.